Blog Talk Radio.
And everything is such a mess. But God remembers that I am blessed when everything seems to be wrong. I gotta resume to stay strong. And everything is such a mess. But I gotta remember, God's got the rest. And everything, after all, is edging me to stand tall. And after all I've been through, and after all, I gotta trust you. This is my life, this is my call, and you'll catch me when I fall. Everything is such a mess, but God remembers that I am blessed. I feel like crumbling, try not to fall and just crawl. When everything is such a mess, life's put me to the test. And after all it is done, I can say I have won. After all I've been through, and after all, I gotta trust you. This is my life, this is my call, and you'll catch me when I fall. Everything is such a mess, but God remembers that I am blessed. When everything seems to be wrong, I gotta resume to stay strong. And everything is such a mess, but I gotta remember God's got the rest. And everything is such a mess, but I gotta remember I am blessed.
Hello, hello, everyone. I'm just sitting here drinking tea, smacking my lips. welcome to A Team of Voices. I am your host, Crystal Hope, and tonight we are doing opposites. So I've got, I think I've put down about 15 different opposites, I believe it was. And I asked all of my friends on allpoetry.com to write to these opposites, bring out the contradictions, the differences, I guess you'd say, between the two of them. I didn't care how they wrote, just whatever they wanted to, and I'm excited to see what we got. But yeah, I don't have anyone on the phone line right now, so I guess while we wait, I'll go ahead and tell what the opposites I had. I have light versus darkness, sweet versus spicy, open versus closed, day versus night, thick versus thin, love versus hate, cheap versus expensive, accepted versus rejected, happy versus sad, remember versus forget, awake versus asleep, create versus destroy, laugh versus cry, hot versus cold, inside versus outside. And that's all. Okay, we're good. We went through. All right. Oh, and now I've got Hatter. Okay, I'm not alone. Thank you, Hatter. Are you there?
Hello. Yeah, I'm talking away. I was on mute.
I was sitting there wondering. I was like, I was waiting for Hatter to go unmuted. And I didn't hear it. I was like,
I know.
Is he there?
Never do that. Are we alone?
That's it. That's the two of us. I had a feeling because I don't have a whole lot of rights, and I think just a lot of people are getting used to the time change, and I think they're all going to bed earlier maybe. I don't know. I noticed it today. I noticed there weren't that many people, and I didn't think we were going to get a whole lot of callers because I'm figuring people are going to bed. I don't know.
Or they're getting ready for the holiday hubbub, you know, coming up. I don't know.
Ready for what?
The holiday hubbub, you know. I think about
Christmas.
I'm
ready for it.
Thank you.
I'm ready for it. I get it. I'm not the biggest Thanksgiving person, but I do enjoy the holidays. Because that is one thing I've had some people complain about the time change, saying about getting darker. And I'm like, I kind of like it because when it starts getting darker, then it starts to feel more like Thanksgiving, Christmas, and all that. People start putting out decorations and everything, and it's nice to see. I don't know. But I'm excited for it.
Yeah. My mom had 6 kids, and as we all grew up, it was common that if we don't cook one turkey, we cook 2 turkeys. And it starts early in the morning, and it's cooking all day long, and it's sitting back with my dad having a beer, watching the Cowboys play Detroit. Yeah.
I only remember
one Christmas that it rained here. Usually it rained before this is growing up until I was out of school. Seems like it's always nice on Christmas.
I would say around here, Christmas typically, there's some Christmases that can be either really warm, or we have Christmases where we've had it where we've had like a lot of rain and it'll be like freezing rain. Thanksgiving, it's always hot. There's rarely been a case where Thanksgiving has been like normal degree temperatures. It's like it'll be 70 something or 80 degrees outside, and I'm like, it's November.
We don't have a fall anymore. I don't think it doesn't seem like it.
No.
When I was playing football. It was, of course, we had our sessions in August, the triple digits, but it cooled off really quick in September. By Halloween, it was it was cold, and we don't get that anymore. I guess it's global warming.
Even I remember being a kid, and that's it, half of my childhood in the north or northeast, and then I spent the other half of it in the south where I live now. But I like when I remember that middle part where I just moved to the south, I do remember it being very hot in the summers, but then whenever September would roll around, it would like start getting a little chillier. Now I can't even expect that at all.
How far north were you, other than where you are? Yeah. Were you up above
the northeast part? I was in Pennsylvania. Yeah. I was like a couple of hours away from New York.
So you were used to snow.
Yes. I was used to snow. And then when I moved down to the south, having no snow really sucked.
God, man. That humid stuff, you can keep that. It gets hot out here, but not like, I went to Orlando once and died.
Oh, I know. It is where I live in Louisiana, and I've gone to Florida, too. Both places are very humid, especially the farther south you go on both of those places. It just gets hotter and hotter and more humid, and it's unbearable. Because that's the thing that doesn't bother me. Like, I don't like the heat, but when you have heat and humidity, humidity makes it 5 million times worse. So.
Oh, that's like it. It was when I was back. It was a writing convention thing, award convention, and it was raining the whole time, just a drizzle, and just, you know, so the humidity is 100%, but the sticky, it was hot, it was muggy, all the air quit working. The humidity was so high that even in the hotels, it was just blowing sort of warm air around.
And that was in Orlando?
I was in Orlando. I was there for a week. Yeah. I couldn't wait to get home.
I don't blame you. The time that I went to Florida, I would say it wasn't too humid. I would say, like, when I went out during the day, the sun was extremely bright. I don't think I really got sunburned that much when I went, but I remember the sun was extremely bright. It did feel good at night. But that was because we were about to have a storm, and I remember while I was sleeping, it stormed all night, and I mean, like, it stormed. Like,
when I walked outside
of the hotel room, it was like things had blown off the balcony.
In the Sacramento Valley up here, I think it's sort of the same kind of condition. It's very hard to predict the weather, for one. The other is that when that ceiling, that high pressure ceiling, moves. And the low pressure, they change the interact and it becomes clear. And that overcast isn't keeping the heat down. That's what I'm trying to say. Whether it won't cool off, we get that often. So we rarely have anything keeping the heat down to the ground. It's always been washed up.
Yeah.
You know, how old were you when you first went to?
How old was I when I first went?
When you first moved south, how old were you?
Oh, first time in the south, I was 7 1/2, almost 8.
So just barely able to remember that. That must have been terrible. I want to go home.
I mean, that really wasn't my first summer, though, because typically we would be in Pennsylvania during school time, and then in the summer my mom would have us drive down to Texas to go visit my grandmother.
Oh,
so I was kind of used to the heat, but it would always be a big difference whenever I would go out there for the summer, and then we would come, like, we'd only probably stay there about a month or so, and then we would go back up north, and the difference was a lot, because it would be very different, because I had to get... Because, like, the one thing I never, like, quite understood when I was young was, like, I remember there being, like, orange dirt and fire ants and all kinds of bugs. I didn't, like, I was used to not fire ants.
I remember that very well. Now, I'm in the northern desert, Nevada desert in Idaho, and... you learn real quick that you do not stand still for very long. I'm talking to you on the farm, outside, because you don't know they're on you until one bites you, and then it's on.
And the next thing you know, you're hopping around on one foot.
And you know you have to take the clothes off. You can't outrun because all over, so you sit there and you strip. You don't care. You just start taking clothes off, man. Get these off of me.
I know mine was like when they start crawling on my feet, and I would literally like beat the tar out of my shoes, like trying to get them off my feet. And then like I would like beat the tar out of my shoes, make sure they're off my feet, run in the house, go to the bathtub and start spraying my feet down, like making sure they're not on me.
And that's
like,
what was good about
pool. You just got to do everything possible.
Yeah. At least on the nearest
pool. It was always
good. I just dive in a pool. I jumped the fence one time and jumped to the neighbor's pool. I didn't even know him. I just jumped in. She's looking at me out from the kitchen window going, what the hell is it? I go, ants. She's okay.
I mean,
well, I even wrote to your show. I even picked one. Did you see it? Which one do you think I would pick out of the opposites?
I did see that you did it. Oh,
yeah, I don't think
so you actually wrote
it.
You actually wrote it. Okay. I was looking at the notification now. First, awake versus asleep.
Yeah.
sounds about right. I mean, I wanted to give quite a few options because I was trying to think of an idea for a show, and I'd say, like, with my job and my life now, that I sometimes can get creatively drained. Like, before everybody was like, oh, I love your ideas. Well, now I'm slowly running out of them because I'm constantly using
now you're just one of us.
All the time.
Now you're just
so,
one of us.
But I wanted to... Yeah, I wanted to do something.
People have run out of ideas. That's funny,
yeah.
Man.
I mean, I know people do such simple things, and typically I have a bunch of ideas, but I just was kind of getting a little more simple. But when I did opposites, I wanted to pick a bunch of, some of them are kind of the same, like day versus night could be the same as light versus darkness, but you have some that are like cheap versus expensive, or remembering versus forgetting, or being awake versus being asleep.
How about now,
like,
and or then? Did you do time now and or then?
No,
I didn't.
No, I didn't.
I'm running back to something. Like, there you are. I like the prompt. It's solid, man. Gives it plenty of opportunity or different choices.
Yeah.
So you don't know
that's
which one got chosen the most
change.
Yet. You don't know. How many pieces do you have posted up there?
How many poems that I have right now? So far, is like five.
Yeah.
But
so you don't know if they all pick the same prompt or not.
Well, you and Titus both picked awake versus asleep, and Frank and Phil both, Frank picked today versus night, and Phil got light versus darkness, which are both kind of similar.
I picked the same prompt as the poet extraordinaire.
Yes.
Man. Well, see how it goes. Yeah, I like the way Titus writes, man.
I know. I always love it when I come on here of seeing everybody's different writing stuff. Because you always hear these. I one time did a YouTube video a few years ago. I was talking about the 10 lies about poets, and one of them I was bringing up about people thinking all poets are the same and all poetry is the same. Because people will be like, a lot of people write love.
It's all been said before.
Yeah, it's all been said and done. It hasn't really, because you run across people and everyone has this different writing style.
No,
and then occasionally you'll see people change it up too.
Well, it's like saying there'll never be another big song because it's all been sung. It's just a little nuances of the notes and how they presented and no, finite.
I will say, though, with modern music, I feel like a lot of it is the same. Because when I turn on the radio and I hear one song and then they play the next song, and I'm like, why do those sound the same? I will say that much, though, when it comes to music. And I will say poetry. Go ahead.
I always ask that question to people that are musically inclined, why they couldn't bring back or try to imitate the old Motown sound. And I've got several different answers. None of them, even when they answer, they're not even happy with the answer they give because they don't know why. And it was brought to me the last person I asked, he said, because it lacks the soul of the singer. And songs now are written by committee, which means a group of people a lot of times will write the song, the verses and song. For one thing, you don't have to pay the artist ridiculous amounts of money when you own the song that is a hit. So there's a breakdown of business in that equation. But I don't know if that's true. They're like, it lacks the soul. You know, like I like to give them Four Tops. Levi Stubbs, the lead singer, was just, it could just feel it resonate. his beautiful lead voice. But that's not all of it. I mean, it's Gordy writing the songs for different people and then matching them up doing that. But there was something else. I'm a Motown fan, and I can't put my finger on what it is. I think the soul has something to do with it, but, man, they're just as good as singers today. I mean, across the board, they're very good singers. So I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, coming from, because like in the beginning of the show, I played one of my songs, and I used to be better at it, I would say, when I was younger. I've kind of lacked in the last few years, but I do write songs as much as poetry. So as far as like being somebody that does write songs, I'm often proud of like the song that I have written, and I'm glad that like, I feel proud to write, because I do see that all the time. You look behind a song and you'll see like 12 different people write it. And I'm like, why did it take that many people? And most of that will be a very cliche song too. And I'm like, why did it take that many people to write one song? I don't feel like people sit down and think a song through or something, or think of the lyrics or so.
Yeah, I think when it crosses the genre lines too. For example, the guy that wrote "Skinny Love," I've seen the video. It's the same words, it's the same chords, but you look at that chick from England, Birdie, who re-edited and put her own style on it to make it a freaking gigantic hit. It was, or it is. So you can almost see the influence of the change. I guess genre would be the best way to put it, because country rock is not like country was ever before, that like it is now. Now it's very good music, a lot better than country rock. So I don't know. I think it might be an era thing. Got to remember, not too many decades have gone by since the birth of rock and roll.
That's true.
It's influence, because R&B changed big time. I don't know. I think we are blessed that the music is the gift from the gods.
That's true, too. I've often had that thought, what would we do without music?
Oh, calms the beast. And that's true. I love the videos when the hoopah bands will pull over on the highway and they start playing, and all these cows come running up. You see them? They play for these. It's hilarious. They'll stand in the middle of the field. These cows will just come running. You hear them play the tuba or the clarinet, whatever they're playing.
I mean, I've often heard it before, too. They said if you play certain kind of music around plants, that some plants will actually grow better. Whether that actually is the case, I don't know.
When I went up to Chicken Mountain and took over taking care of all the animals in a different one, first thing I did was pipe music in and play it. And then I could tell right off the top, with the stress level went down in a lot of the pens, because you can only have one rooster, there's two roosters in each pen, and you know. But stress is very high in Chicken Mountain and Chicken World. And just the music being played calmed it down. And I totally agree. I think that's been proven, that plants do better with music.
Yeah, I was going to say it has, because I've seen many people do that, science experiments like that or so.
Yeah.
I mean, if it calms us down, I don't see why it wouldn't calm down like an animal or even a plant.
Oh, it's vibrations. It's through the air. It's just vibrations that they feel. And yes, it's like being petted to a plant. The little hairs on them are probably vibrating and having a good time.
I mean, that's true.
But did you want me to
check
read?
In the studio. Still us.
Okay. I think Deborah only allows 30 minutes to go by without reading one.
Yeah, I was going to say we probably need to go ahead and... I mean, I got a whole bunch of SoundCloud, so, like, that's going to be enjoyment for you and me. Besides,
well, I can go ahead and read. I'll read mine to you. I'll read mine to you.
Okay. I didn't know if you wanted to wait to see, because, I mean, Frank might call.
Yeah.
He's one person that might call.
I'll hang with you.
But I don't know about anybody else.
He goes down.
Okay. I mean, I just thought about going ahead and playing one of the SoundClouds and to see if we get anybody in the next few minutes that might call. That way we can get some more comments for, I'd say, for your poem, or if anybody else wanted to call and drop another poem in. But yeah, let me, before I put a poem down, I probably should find where I put, okay, they're all my SoundClouds. Okay. I always hate that when I'm scrolling and I'm trying to find them all. I try and put them all together so that it's easy.
Yeah, that's what you need a hitching station. And then your bank.
Okay, well, I think the first poem I'm probably going to put down is K's. And play your SoundCloud. And then we can give her some comments. So put that down.
I think the most you chosen one is going to be Love Hate seems a little cheap, expensive, happy, sad. Laugh Cry. That's a laugh cry. I don't know. Those are some good ones. Cry.
I don't know. I had a feeling people would probably pick like Light versus Darkness a lot or something like that. I mean, I kind of picked that for my poem as well. But, like, I was going to write for my show, and then I've just had the last couple of weeks just be hectic because we had a teacher at my job. She had to leave because she lost somebody and had to go out of town for a week. So we were short one teacher, and I had to work a lot more hours with the – and then after that, I got sick, and a couple other teachers got sick. So then it's just been a roller coaster. So I just found one of my poems, and I think it works. I don't know. But, yeah, I put down Kate. Okay, there's her SoundCloud.
Remember, forget. That's a good one.
In the Slumber of Awakenings. Bye, Kate. Skies, turquoise wheat fields upon golden airs, cherry reds and pristine edges, scrub the slate of city notions, lights for miles no longer in existence, upon floral midsummer's folds, bitten adieu and rusted clouds, quilts, stitches a sprout and rainy day funds of spirit, as a route to wander, torches of feet to bark goals of branches, marble and semesters, boundaries, roadways of crispy turbulence, of hands dirty. Slain tile and capable oranges of crimson nutmegs, the fabrics of sensory. Caramel apples spice the horizons targeted. In a distance, thunderstorms can be heard, woven in paces of slights lost. Silence. Incline the paper, walk the hills. Steep in waters of dried rivers is a cottage. Daylight ribbons. Tapestries of flowers, flocks of leaves disregard the curtain of light poking through, his boots muddy from the farmhouse ways, hearth of a new season summons the ideals of pumpkin seeds to be, sliver of colors, tea light, remembrance, end poem.
I'm beginning to think I got the wrong SoundCloud. Because it didn't match the poem that I know. I took the audio.
I was confused because I thought I grabbed the wrong one.
I was curious, started reading, and then I didn't stop it. But I just took the audio that was in her author's notes. I might need to tell Kay that, Kay, you have the wrong, you have the wrong audio in this poem.
It was Kay's.
It was Kay's, and I have, and I was reading the poem, and I was like, wait, the words don't match. But I just took the audio that's in the bottom of her poem, and it's not the same.
Nemesis comes off all sweet. I think she's a little more, you know, she'll pull something off on you. Miss Nemesis.
I mean, I'm kind of just tempted to just go ahead and read the actual poem. And
okay.
Let's
do that.
Yeah. I'm going to probably do that because I want to make sure people, you, me, and everybody listening can actually hear her, the poem that was read. I mean, I was wondering if you start reading. I was like, wait, that's not the right link.
Now, is that
okay,
a cupcake?
Well, this is called,
it's a cupcake?
It is a cupcake. It's
right.
called I'm The Degrees gonna... of Water in the Soul. Drizzling in fountains of chocolate crushed in minces of mint. 'Twas the night entry served, gaslighting on a platter trimmed to the goose's fat. Holly berries upon pumpkin spring. Things, backgrounds, the red walls of food. Main exposure, shatterproof, chubby cheeks smiling, giggling in the hall. Hark, it is not a child, just her. The tree is on fire, mine the tinsels, barren of garland, red blooms, flecked in whitewashing, toy soldiers tickling the needles. Lit in boughs of cranberry, depart from the truce to throw off this sense economy. Pounce of crumpets and bleached roots breaking, sifting the flour and powdered sugar notion baked with fire. Mind the drops of blood they add nuisances of goods and chantels. Glazed and bells and whistles, have a cupcake, darling. Silence. The footsteps of falling beets, letterheads, flock the branches, toast in the day, while you scrapbook lies in the tides of season's leaves. End poem. I took a different turn. That one took a different, because like it was first talking about all these giggles and about the chocolate and things like that, and I think I know what she isn't like. I may be wrong because normally Kay writes more metaphoric than I do, but it seems to me like how you expect the holidays to be versus how they actually are, and I will definitely say that is the case because there's times where you think, oh, the holidays are such a good time, but for many people, it can actually turn to be the opposite, which I guess is what she was, or doing opposite. I'm talking about sometimes things don't seem as they should.
Yeah. Well, the author's note, it's like the last thing he did, he turned and said, blood is never really thicker than water. Know your worth.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I just read that. But the thing that I would definitely say, though, is that you have to look out more for the good than the bad. But I also get what she's saying. I do love this one line, though, of shifting the flour and powdered sugar notions. I like the sound of that.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was listening to you.
I agree with you with the stanzas before her, the words she chooses to work together. I think that's it's an art that you come across, especially by writing poetry. The drizzling in fountains of chocolate crust and minces. It always seems, you know, you don't use hard words, holly berries upon popcorn strings. Ew. End of comment.
I knew that end of comment was coming. And while we were chattering away, I left Frank on hold for 3 minutes. Sorry, Frank.
No, it's,
I shouldn't have done that.
I don't know, my friend. No, it's all right. I was listening to the conversation there.
Yeah, it's just been me and Hatter for the last, like, 40 minutes. So just been chatting away.
So I think we just got used to it. Oh, I didn't know that you started at, I thought you started at 8 times when you started before.
I did start at, it's 8:36, but for other people it'd be like 9:36, and for Hatter it'd probably be like 6:36, but.
It is.
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying, like everywhere it's different, but. Where I am in Central Time, it's 8:36, and I started at 8. So, but I'm saying it's almost been about 40.
I don't know how they do it on the East Coast. How they do it on the East Coast, man? It's 2 o'clock in the morning.
That's one thing. Like before, I started doing podcasts. I never paid that much attention to the different times: the Pacific Time, Central Time, Eastern Time. I never paid attention. And then now I have to pay attention the last couple of years.
You might if you were in England.
Yes.
That too.
Even for AP,
he had always has a different time schedule. So.
He has more hours than. He would be more
true.
Hours than.
I know
in Europe. No, go ahead.
I'm sorry, am I making noises? I'm trying to move around. I'm sorry.
No.
You're
okay, my friend.
Frank, did you get a chance to read Kay's poem?
No, unfortunately, I was not. My phone is batty, if you understand what I mean. I've been having problem issues with my phone since I last spoke with you. Which is why I haven't been on that many shows lately, but I love the poems. I'm not able to read them at the moment. I can hear and stay on as long as I can and comment at least.
Okay. Yeah, we just read Kay's and Hatter and I were talking about it. I had the wrong SoundCloud. I don't know if that, I just grabbed the one that was at the end of the poem. I don't know. I mean, I guess we got two poems for the price of one. I don't know. Maybe. But, I mean, that happens. It's like they're going to happen.
You owe somebody something, yeah. Yeah. No.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I really wasn't listening to it either, being that I couldn't follow. I was trying to find where
I know
the hell
what
we
you
were.
Mean. I was doing the same thing. Where I was like, the whole time, I was like, this isn't right. But I was listening to her other poem. But I think I've heard that poem before, the one that we were listening to. Oh, I did kind of know it. But, yeah. Because we just got, you know, two poems for the price of one. It worked. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kay, for that poem, and also to anybody that's listening. Kay and Stephen have a show, I believe, in like 30 minutes. I think it's at 10 Eastern or whatever. They have a show on their podcast or whatever. If anyone wants to go check that out as well.
Poetic Slice of Life. Is that it?
Yes, that's the name of the group. A Poetic Slice of Life.
Yeah, Poetic Slice of Life. Okay.
Well, because it's hilarious. They're actually in the same room. I always thought that was weird. I would separate. I'd go in the other room or something.
All right. Well, Hatter, since we now have Frank on here, I'll go ahead and put your poem on, and then Frank, after Hatter, we can do yours. So
All right, you can go ahead and do Hatter. I can wait for Hatter. Hatter's been on there for, Paul Devil's been on there now for, what you said, 30 or 40 minutes. By all means, he does deserve his poem before mine.
So who's going first?
You are, Hatter.
Okay.
Mine's a sound card, by the way, so Hatter, you can go.
Comes within your dreams. Goes like this. And I chose awake versus asleep. And I hope you follow it. Okay. I woke today too many times. My dreams, I'm stuck as if by design. For days now, this has been happening to me. I rise from my slumber thinking I'm free. Confused and afraid I was all alone. That's when I heard a cellular phone. I answered it hoping to end this ruse. But the voice told me I'm not really you. Back to sleep one more time. That's what I heard reciting of rhymes, reading my poems in a special way, like times before me it happened this day. I always hear a different voice writing asleep. I have no choice. Again, I know this was not true. Again, I sleep dreaming of you. A light crawled in my window this time, creeping across to lit up my mind. Wicked, it comes within your dreams. With this I rise, a terrible thing. A whisper, a rap upon my door. I remember, beware of what you wished for. Let me open my blind-colored eyes. Let me see it without disguise. One moment left I tend to keep. For God's sake, let me sleep. I quickly turned to a voice then that screamed, get your ass up. This isn't a dream. I slowly opened my eyes to see that you were there staring at me. I told you I had to end this crap, so I rolled over and took a nap. Okay.
Oh, wow. I didn't expect it to end that way because I thought it was going to end, like, more haunted or something, because that's how it seemed, like you were having these bad, haunting dreams, and then at the end it was just like, oh, I look up, and you're just staring at, well, I'm just going to roll over and have a nap. Leave me alone. Like,
I was only waking up into another dream. Constantly, you don't wake up into another dream.
That's fascinating there.
I struggled a little bit.
I mean, I don't see much struggle at all, to be honest. It gives me that Hatter rhyme type thing and gives the story and stuff like that. It gives a little bit of darkness, but yet also a little bit of humor and then a little bit of story. Brings it all together. I will say, I think the part I liked is, let me open my blind-colored eyes, let me see it without disguise. I like the way that rhyme came out in that line. But I definitely do like that ending, or even like talking about turning that voice that screamed and it wasn't even a dream, it's just telling you to get up. I think you did a good job with the whole awake versus asleep thing. Frank, you want to make a comment?
Yes, I'm still having the issue with the phone, but I heard the poem. What I understood of this poem is the natural trademark of Hatter's brilliant rhyming scheme. He brings us into this realm of the subconscious there. You know, I know that we deal, you know, some of us who are pretty much into, you know, dreams and nightmares. I'm one of those who like to delve into that aspect there of the subconscious realm. I thought you did it. You brought those thoughts together to me. You made me explore a bit of this poem here. Now, though it may seem simplistic and just, you know, creepy, you know, because we don't look inside our brains, but there is those that activity, you know, in the brain. The brain waves are still active, even though we sleep. It's just, you know, the interesting thing. Our brain never relaxes, really. It continues to be active, even in the subconscious realm of a dream or a nightmare. Now, I like the way you brought in the issue of that. You've been, oh, but you made me think there about just how, you know, how fascinating that is to think about, you know, what consists in our dreams, in our minds, you know. That's really, some would be scared of that, Hatter, but I myself am not. You know, I think that there's so much there in our mind, you know, beyond the simplicity of what it's made, the brain and all that, you know, what our brain is in the mass it's made. There's beauty in there, you know, a lot of activity that really we depend on, you know. And this poem just gave me those thoughts there. It really made me think of this poem.
Yeah, and thank you very much. I tried to, and I did avoid the word nightmare because I wanted to paint a nightmare without saying that. So that was one of the ideas of the frustration of waking only to another dream. They were really sleeping.
Yeah, that's true. Can you imagine the most frightening thing? That we are actually, although we think we're not dreaming, you know, let's say for us now, we're all three together. You know, can you imagine if this is all just a mere dream, the world that we live in, the reality that we know? How do we even mention that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and our whole existence could be a blink of an eye compared to time as a very relevant part of that equation, that explanation about. And why should we need to dream?
Yeah.
I remember after my brain surgery, after the last brain surgery I had in 97, I don't know if it was the meds or the neurons trying in search to find each other to heal, but I had some of the most vivid dreams, but the one that I had my first real nightmare. Oh, my God. It wasn't like night terrors, but I was exhausted. When I woke up, I was short in breath, you know, the whole thing, and wasn't going to go back to sleep, and it stuck with me for days. It's all part of that pattern. Like you said, we're not really resting. Our brain is just in another, doing something else, you know.
No, by all means, it is. And that's unique thing because the brain is very creative. Think about it. You could be because we have a physicality. Think about this.
Break it up, Frank. Awesome.
It doesn't depend.
Frank, you are just going in and out.
You could be sleeping.
Yeah, you're going in and out, Frank. I can't hear you.
Okay, I was
crack-a-lacking.
None of what I was about to say, crack-a-lacking.
All right.
Frank, are you still there? We were just catching you a couple words, and then you break off again.
It's the phone. I've been having issues with it. I just want to say that it's a very fascinating issue, the brain. You know, that's all I wanted to say.
Oh, okay. That we heard you.
Like
I heard all of that. You're good now.
Sorry.
I would like
to hear
a little more than climbing out of the primal ooze. You know, struck by lightning. However, that started.
Yeah.
A little more than that. And I want to use all my brain. These parts we're not using. What's up?
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe we're saving it for the second half.
Yeah.
Because you're going to need
it. Well, while you two were talking, I apparently had two cats sneak in here, or I really just think one.
Oh, go ahead.
I don't know. Apparently on... on page, it looks like Deb just snuck in here as a cat. So say hi to Deb and say hi to Sleepy.
Cat master.
Hey.
Hi, Deb.
Hey.
Hi, Sleepy. Hello. Hello.
Hey. Meow.
Meow.
Right?
You give me to meow. That's in it.
I don't know. Cat fight. So what's the temperature of where everybody's at? I've got to be high 60s.
I would say
same for me, high 60s.
The same. I would say the same here. I have to say.
Okay.
Out in the coast. I'm out in the coast over here.
Well, Dad was freezing the other
night.
38. Wow, Wyoming. Deb, where are you at? You freezing? Didn't Deb walk in with you?
Yeah, I'm sorry. No, this afternoon we made it up to 76. I mean, 67, duh. But right now it's 43.
Yeah, 43. All right.
No, she's trying to make it hotter. She's trying to make it 76.
I know, right? Well, it started to get cold. We had two nights with frost, and then we had yesterday, today, and supposedly tomorrow that's going to be, you know, high 60s and then cold again, and we get 5 minutes of spring-ish weather, 5 minutes of fall-ish weather, and either beyond that, it's either freezing or you're sweating like a pig.
I had Frank going up next. We just read Hatter's poem, and an interesting poem.
Yeah,
indeed.
I was just yelling at Hatter for his poem.
I wanted to ask you if you like. I sort of was thinking of you at the time. You know how I do.
No, I thought the poem was absolutely awesome, Hatter. I was just teasing you about taking my prompt from Monday and using it today. Now you got to get a new one.
Oh, no.
Hatter, it's all good. I always have at least a half a dozen ish left over, so it's fine. The poem is amazing. I just have one yelling at you. That's all.
And I went into the vault thinking, okay, grab a picture. I go, this one looks good. What's that to? I have no idea. Use it.
It was meant to be. Like I said, there's more. Just pick another one for Monday. It's all good.
No, that's good. Had to pay attention. Jesus. That's funny. Okay.
All right. Let me get going with the poetry. All right, Frank, let me grab your SoundCloud.
Oh, one quick thing. The poem from Kay's poem I had read already. That poem I read on her show.
Okay.
Maybe it was on the one she actually had the SoundCloud for her.
I don't know if I had the wrong
SoundCloud or what happened on that one, but
But there's nothing more frustrating.
I got Frank's SoundCloud. It's right in front of me. That's right in front of me, and it should be the right one. But yeah, let me go ahead and click here.
If someone else's voice comes out, Crystal, tell me if someone else's voice has come out.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. I got it.
If you could only really see us trying to find the right boom. Sorry.
I am the morning sun, afresh, exuding a radiance unto you, and you are the evening moon, glowing a reflection unto me. Let me be the light travelling at the rapid speed, streaking, and you the lovely shining star, illuminating the celestial sky. Without your glow I would fade into the sober abyss of a darkness within the infinity of the space, and my whispers never heard. I could not exist without your love, and I would be only a solitary sun to the distant sphere of satellites beyond the stars of the Milky Way. I'm the bright energy of the heat, the visible light emitted by rays, forever your guiding star ablaze, as you orbit my beloved moon. You sparkle within the great zodiac when you feel my morning caresses, and I sense your cosmic presence in the fusion of our lovemaking. Two strong forces of matter taken shape in the form of love, and my beautiful moon, I swear, I shall never leave your side. Do not be jealous of time, for I am your faithful sun, longing for your nightly touch and thrust of your deep passion. Oh, we are two strong forces of matter taking shape in the form of love, and my beautiful moon, I swear, I shall never leave your side. Mi amor, mi flor, you are my nocturnal moon, and I am the morning sun. I am the morning sun in the pool.
There was something that Tatter and I were talking about earlier, of talking about the difference between poetry and music and things like that, and how sometimes people say that all poetry is the same or all music is the same. And with this poem, it definitely makes me think that, because Frank, you always do write some amazing SoundClouds, and your voice is always haunting, or some way or another, you always can do a SoundCloud really well. And I like it with this one about the eternal moon and the morning. So I've never thought of it even, like, because I sensed it in, like, more of a sensual kind of way, of those two combining, of, like, the moon going down and coming up to the morning sun, but yet two opposites, but yet otherwise we wouldn't have such a thing as day without having the night turn into the sun or turn into the day. So I think that you did that absolutely perfectly, and just the feelings in your voice and in your words, you can just feel that passion between the sun and the moon. So I think you did an amazing job.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you very much there. And I saw your theme. I was trying to figure out what I could put up for your show. And this is one of the ones that I thought, because it had that contrast between the sun and the moon.
I know what you mean, because I did the same thing where I was supposed to write and then I didn't. So I just tried to find something as opposite, but I thought I had something.
Don't make me feel so guilty.
I know, I did.
Don't make me feel so guilty now.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not making you feel guilty, because I did it too. So, all right, let me give you some comments, Frank. I'm going to start with Sweet Pea.
All right.
With who? I'm muted.
I mean, Sweet Pea.
Sweet, are you there? Are you talking
yes,
to me?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. I'm sorry. I'm a muted person.
It's been quiet, but not that quiet. First off, I love the music. The background music was stunning. It was good to hear your voice again. I've been kind of out of the loop, not hearing a lot. As always, your imagery was amazing. I liked your approach to the subject. As always, you're very complicated without being too complicated. I like, you know, your unique language, but I always do. I like how you use, like, light traveling and then speed streaking and illuminating the celestial skies. Like, all that was talking about, you know, stars and the way, like, I'm not very good with the speed of light kind of thing, but I like how you all, you know, you kind of incorporated all of that. And spheres of satellites, I kind of like that too. But I really like how you kind of really stuck to that whole nightly touch and in the stars and all of that. I love, and of course, the thrust of your deep passion, you always have to throw something a little naughty in there, but overall it was very beautiful, as always, Frank.
Oh, I appreciate that, sweet. Thank you very much there. You know how much I enjoy not only just writing, but I, you know, when you do a SoundCloud, it has to be something that's entertaining as well.
One comment, Sweetie. And let me get one from Hatter.
Yeah, it, I kept trying to go back and where I thought I'd saw something, I couldn't find it, you know, that lost feeling. It's the, I remember being young, having the odd feeling when you saw the moon and the sun in the same sky. Just didn't seem right. The traveling, where's the difference of space? I could not exist without your love. I would be only a solitary sun. It almost hits on the questions that early man would have is they don't know, they know the sun gives off heat and without it it's cold. But what was the moon that showed up at night to watch us? You know, being either following the sun. Are we following the sun? Is the sun following us? Is tomorrow always chasing us? I got yeah. All that, Frank.
Well, there you go, my friend.
Yeah.
That's very impressive there. Very impressive there. Thank you very much there, my friend. I always appreciate you, Hatter. You have such a brilliance of wit as well. So I always enjoy your company as well. You're one of the few selective that I do enjoy. I enjoy many others as well. But you have your own unique way. And those things, you know, people don't realize that at times that our character, our character, our charm, or whatever you want to call it, personality, you know, at times it does resonate, you know, with others. With me it does, you know. So I do have a fond affection for you. And you are one of the, I know you've been on AP for so many years, so you are a very great example of inspiration for many.
Oh, that's the nicest thing anybody's ever said. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
So much. So here, you know, you said too, there are times you will write something that will resonate with me a little stronger than others. And I always try to remember to point that out to say something about it. And I have trouble. My mind goes too fast sometimes from my mouth, so I get ahead of myself.
I have the same problem. I have the same problem, my friend. But it's always good. It's always good that we have, you know, that we find things that we enjoy doing. You know, I think all of us here, the one common denominator is that all of us here who are on the show tonight, that we share our company. We love sharing company with each other, and we. You know, we have a fondness for poetry as well. But we share these relationships, you know, friendships above all with each other, and that's it's not easy nowadays to find.
Yeah, you know, the immense that expanse of time and space is what it is to be alive and alive and sharing this moment together is a miracle in itself.
Yeah, I would agree. We are a minuscule of people living on a planet in a universe. So, yeah. Well, I want to say thank you, and I don't want to take up Crystal's time. I do apologize for that, Crystal, if I've taken up some time.
Well, no, you're good. I've got all the time in the world.
Thank you, Atta. I appreciate that. Thank you very much, my friend.
Yeah, no, thank you too, sir.
All right, well, I was going to get one last comment from Deb, and then Deb's going to read hers. So, Deb, if you want to comment.
Absolutely, yeah. I thought this came out really awesome, Frank. And the one stanza, where'd it go? Let me be the light traveling at the rapid speed streaking, and you the lovely shining star illuminating the celestial sky. I think that's so gorgeous and romantic and breathtaking. And towards, I think Crystal or someone mentioned the great zodiac already, but under that, two strong forces of matter taking shape in the form of love and my beautiful moon, I swear I shall never leave your side. I'm like, wow. No. The total opposite of the maniacal laughter is this poem. Brilliant.
I have it for Monday. Don't worry about that. I've got it for I have it for Monday for you. So I'll entertain you there.
Yeah, that was the line that got. Are we following them or is it? Are we following it? What was that?
Yeah.
I should never leave your
side. It's a. You know, I'll just be brief here in that comment there with Deb said. I think there's a beautiful thing about the moon and the sun. You know, for centuries, our mythologies have been based on that. You know, our philosophy at times, you know, our poetry, our art, so much has been influenced by the universe, and in particular, the two components of the sun and the moon. So there's a beauty to that. I think all of us do at times write about this
well
connection.
We forget the part of nighttime being danger. We were nocturnal and by nature, and nighttime was when they fed. Oh my god. So being a philosopher was probably down on the list.
I could imagine that one there. But you know what's more beautiful thereafter? I think I would rather have the image here to end up here with the beauty of the stars and the constellation. I would rather think of that, that thought there. Thank you very much there, Deb.
Yeah, be the philosopher in the cave drawing on the wall. That'd be me.
With Ringo Starr there in Caveman, the old film he came out on.
Love that.
Ringo Starr.
There was only two words said in that whole thing. Ringo says something. Yeah. It could happen. Yeah, great stuff. So we all getting ready for the holidays, huh? What's everybody doing, Vinny, for Thanksgiving?
I have no idea yet. Mine's still up in the air, what I'm going to do. I'm assuming that it would be with friends.
I ordered a barbecue turkey and come back.
I still haven't bought one yet. I'm still looking to fetch one there. I'll let you know, Atta.
I have a feeling my family would be different.
this year. I just found out my older brother died.
Oh, wow. I have no idea, my friend.
Sorry.
I have no idea. Oh, well.
Yeah, no, it's I'm just getting the news slowly now, what's going on. So maybe they'll want to see each other again. Might everybody meet the therapist? I'm not sure. But, yeah, my older brother.
I'm a little prepared.
I feel so bad for you. Have to. I'm speechless.
I
will PM you afterwards.
Yeah, you know. I might as well. I'd like to say something. Could just shortly. My older brother Bob. We were a year apart. There was always competitiveness between us, but I always thought the brotherly friendship was the strongest part until he became known as my brother rather than I was his, if that makes sense. To a guy, that makes sense as far as being a jock. There was a certain resentment. He should have been the more popular one. Like I said, the best way to say it is he became my brother, known as my brother rather than me being his. That was a big thing. So it stuck between us for entire lives. But he was a nice guy, very, very successful in what he did. He was a redneck, liked to hunt, that kind of stuff. But I didn't mean to bring everything to everybody down. I'm sorry. Thanks, guys.
I can say, just be strong, Hatter. The memories never die out. Our bodies do, but our memories never do.
Yeah.
And he is still with you in spirit.
Yeah, the memories of my older brother and myself are fewer than others, but there were some great times when we were little. First one to be allowed to hang around Dad, all his cop friends. Our great time.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Our memories as children are the most fondest memories that we have. I can honestly agree with you on that.
Yeah, it is funny what you will remember to the other person that was there, what he remembers. Not different stories, it's just what it was that you remembered. Odd little things that who knows why you remember it. But I have what had happened to me after my accident. I was 19. Everything behind me froze. My life became pictures, smells, and feelings that were intense. I can remember stuff that I don't know why I do. The smells of a football game, what conversation I had with the tight end, it was weird that was imprinted. So I could really relate to that comment about childhood memories. It's funny what you remember.
Yeah.
I had a great childhood. Golden.
Thank you very much, sir.
Okay, Crystal, you can have your show back.
And this has been Hatter's Takeover for the night.
Crystal. She's Crystal is such a sweetheart in that.
No, I don't mind. I was just telling Deb a second ago, she was saying about being patient, and I was like, there's too many impatient people in the world, so, you've got to have a few people that can. I mean, me, every single day working with children, they're always like, I want, when is this happening? And I just look them straight in the eye, and I'm like, you have to be patient, I'm sorry. I'm like, you can't have everything you want right at the moment you want it. I'm like, you're going to have to wait. Like, I don't know how many times I have to say you have to wait every single day. I probably say it like 20 times, maybe more a day. Because, that's like a very hard lesson you got to learn in life.
You got to make a code word that they all know, too. Yeah, which means the same thing. It's like you're so, instead of gizzing tight, you say you're so good looking, right, Deb?
Secret code.
you're amazing, there, Hatter. You're amazing, my friend.
Got to find humor in everything.
Yeah, you're amazing, my friend. They'll never change.
Well, I hate to break the sweet moments, but I do need to get along with the poetry. So, okay.
Having a sweet moment.
Thank you, Frank, for bringing that poem and writing and everything. And
my pleasure.
I have Deb's next, and after Deb, we'll do Sweet Pea. And then I'll do all my poems that have SoundCloud, if you'd like to. But Deb, whenever you're ready.
Okie dokie. And I took Inside Outside.
Inside Outside.
And here we go. It's called Underneath the Plastic, You'll Find the Camouflaged Colors. On the outside views, a smile's just a mask. It's the mirror and smoke blurring the rose glass as two lungs choke. Blood flows crimson, streaming inside of her, but ice flows and not fire, and the frostbite stings. Then voices whisper. Inside, chaos hides, setting off fits of rage, triggering teeth grinding. If all the rage explodes, shrapnel is blinding. Outside, debris slams, leaving big landmines that shatter on the floors. Tripping me, his feet run, headed for the door. Fists fly, striking blood, spraying from the arteries, puddling red, then clotting. Insects eat dried up scabs from dead flesh rotting. Cheekbones wear hues stained in purple and blue and shades of plum black, too. Take on makeup bleeds, bruises shine through. Scars cover the outside, but it's all the scars inside. Those wounds are the seal. Plastic surgery can't reach. So now we cannot heal. End poem.
Dang, I'm like meat in the minute here. Wow. I don't know why that last part was like getting to me.
Yeah.
I absolutely love this. I never have understood people that constantly want to change their image. And I know people, I will say that sometimes when you're going through a lot of change or bad things happen, it is good sometimes to switch things up. Because I've done it before where I've had a lot of stuff happen and I'll go cut my hair or something like that. Like, you just need a change. But I know people that constantly do it where they get lots of plastic surgery or they get all these changes all the time. And then when they grow older, they realize that those things weren't important. All of the things that they did to the outside of their body was not important, because then they'll grow old and realize that all the things that mattered on the inside, you can't heal them. You can't recover from them because you didn't work on them. So
if you go spinning out of control, you want it to be observed so somebody can catch you and say, hey, man, what's up? What's going on? If it's inward, you spin inward looking at yourself, nobody can see that. I think that maybe people with a bigger scars or crisis sets in.
That's true, yeah.
That's true, Heather. No, I love that last stanza, though. The scars cover the outside, but it's all the scars inside. Those wounds of the seals, plastic surgery can't reach. So now we can't heal. Mm-hmm. I swear, I heard you read that part. That, like, got to me, especially that I'm that we can't heal. Yeah, that is powerful. I'm going to put this on my list. I love this one. It's powerful, and it has it. And the thing is, when I was thinking of the opposites about inside versus outside, it didn't even dawn on me to think about, you know, well, I know people always say beauty is on the inside, but whenever I was doing opposites, I was just thinking, you know, indoors, outdoors. That thing was going through my mind, not this. So I like that you changed my whole perspective when I was thinking of that. So, yeah, this is beautiful. Let me get let me get a comment from Frank.
Thank you so much.
Yes, first of all, I want to say that this was just breathtaking. You said something about me previously, Deb, and I want to reciprocate by saying that this is one of the best poems that you've actually written that really just made me breathless. There's so much to what you say. First of all, it's a very powerful poem. It has a haunting truth and realization. I think it's very introspective and very inspirational. It's beautiful. What you describe here is nothing more than what we are within us, humans, with our own, you know, with our imperfections, or with our, you know, this or that. We don't realize that, you know, we see so much of what is from within. Now we observe. We don't realize, I mean, from outside, we don't realize that there is a beauty that has its own name, you know, its own creation. And I really just was moved by this piece here. You really brought into perspective here what we should appreciate of each other. You know, we should appreciate that we are beautiful, you know, not only from within, but outside. Now, it just takes, you know, people just get so caught up in the lens of what it's supposed to be defined as. We don't realize that all of us possess a beauty, you know, and this poem really just, although it's dark to some extent, it just makes me realize how much we should appreciate each other. And it's very courageous of you to share a poem like this. I don't know to what extent it is personal, completely, or it's partially, but what you describe in that last stanza there with the scars, yeah, I can certainly say that scars are something that really, although they're indicative and they leave something of, you know, visible, it doesn't have to define us. It doesn't have to define, you know, our beauty, and, you know, and I think you realize that when we come to grips and accept who we are, you know, in plastic surgery, it's something I'll leave it to some other to comment on that. I'm not an expert to know, but I know that people do this. I don't really, I'm not going to criticize that. I think everyone seeks their happiness in one form or the other, but I think your poem really does make, you know, talks to the issue of self-awareness, self-acceptance, and realizing that we are beautiful, you know. We don't have to be beautiful to the whole world, but we have to begin to be beautiful for each other, for us as well, starting with ourselves. It's a great, great share, great poem.
Great comment. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Always.
And Hatter, do you have any more to say to your comment?
Have I said enough?
No, I just wanted to know before I go to CP for comment.
Yeah, I don't know if this is the right words, but it's we're feeding into that mindset of having plastic surgeries and you know, tummy tuxes or whatever. I think we're feeding into it, being or isolating our own
inner soul in these phones. That's where all your attention is 99% of the time you're awake, it seems like. And the more you focus in, the less you can see. I think, I think we might be feeding into the look at me, look at me.
Thanks. For sure. Thank you, Hatter.
Welcome.
Great comment, Hatter. And CP, make the last comment, and then I got yours on the board.
I'm really just going to say what I wrote in her comments, and that's when words become beautiful, haunting lines. And I thought this was darling.
Oh, guys, I'm getting a call. I got to go. I'll call back.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, come back, Hatter. I'm going to read for you.
Take care.
You're welcome.
Take care, my friend.
Night, Frank. Oh, Hatter. Okay, I'm confused for a second.
Yeah, I'm going to listen to I'll Stay for Sweet poem. Then I have to go. I'm going to stop over at Stephen for a bit. So I'm going to stay for Sweet poem.
Okay, and my sweet, thank you for the comment, though.
You're welcome. All right. I'm going to read me now. So this is actually a eulogy I just read from my father-in-law. And it is to remember or to forget, and it really fits with this show tonight, Crystal. So I read this on Sunday. So hopefully I will get through this. So forgive me if I don't.
No, take your time, sweet.
All right. This is called The Life of Ray. Today we are gathered here to talk about the life of Ray. I wish I could tell you that all the words were mine, but as I started to write, my pen took a left, and Ray wrote these lines. Dear Doris, remember the roses that waited for you after my long afternoon interview? You know, the one I thought was our first date. I hope you would want a simple man from PA with strong hands and an obsessed brain. A guy who corrected mathematical inconsistency and textbook stupidities. Please, the story of a boy born on the wings of aviation history, a child who met Amelia Earhart that made flying his life's treasure. A man who rose to quiet Birdman, Smithsonian's own mysteries. When tears start to fall, think of my mustache and how it tickled your face and the white beard I grew for black powdered shoots and mountain man escapes. My airplanes, ham radios, gun shops, and tools took up a lot of our space. But my dear artist, I think you would agree we were partners in our craziness. Speak of me in giggles for all my silly ways, how I sat silenced on a cowboy poet's stage, for pulling Snoopy in my plane during Lander's 4th of July parades. People talk of our hand-holding days, none of them knew of our secret ways, as I rubbed your wedding band while our fingers were engaged. My dear wife, of our before dinner kiss, hold on to every I love you and 29 years of happiness and bliss. Pictures and videos will not capture our adventures on land, our travels by sea, how we conquered the skies and knocked out California by car. I wanted you to know that Pocket Rocket and Chipper were here to greet me. Tails were a wagon and I was as happy as can be. My sweet Doris, I leave you with one special thing. When you look at the sunsets and fields of yellow and tangerine, know that I'm smiling down on my queen. Please never forget me. Tell someone I once was. Rest in peace, Raymond Snyder, my dear sweet father-in-law. 417, 1929, 1025, 2021.
Well, Sweet Pea, I think you did an amazing job reading that. Like, well, the life of Ray, and what a man that he definitely sounded like. I really enjoyed hearing it and stuff, and talking about his wife and everything. I love that part of you talking about the holding hands and rubbing against the wedding band as your fingers were engaged. There's something bittersweet about that. We're talking about Snoopy in the plane as well. I enjoyed hearing about that part as well. But yeah, you can definitely feel the emotion in it that you wrote for the life of Ray. And I always do love hearing tribute poems. I mean, I hate when I see people die, but sometimes the poetry or the things that people write for those people or that person always is sometimes the most beautiful poetry you'll ever read because it comes from the heart. So I think that you just did a wonderful job here, Sweetie.
Thank you.
And let me get a comment from Deb.
You know, for starters, I agree. The read was incredible. And by the time you got to My Sweet Doris towards the end there, I had a hard time listening to you read without a tear. So what an amazing job. Second, the details of life shared throughout this are amazing. And I bet that everybody was blown away by it. I mean, how could they not be? And then the little tidbits that you share that lead up to the author's notes, you just never know what you might find out. And that seems pretty incredible. But back to the poem, the little snapshots with the pictures and videos that capture the adventure, I like I think it would be like a narration, like, but I'm not positive. Anyway, I think that this is absolutely brilliant, and I just, sometimes you blow me away, sweet, and this is one of those times.
Thank you.
Sorry for another loss.
It's been rough.
Wonderful comment, Deb. And Frank, how about you?
Yes, well, I wasn't expecting, you know, to have such a powerful night tonight, you know, and it's really beautiful that we can share these thoughts, you know, and feel comfortable sharing this with each other. The poem really was it was powerful. It was just intense, but I thought it was beautiful, a beautiful tribute. I thought the poem made me ponder the importance of the memories we create and share with each other, how much we value it's worth, how much we realize, you know, that without memories, you know, our lives are in essence empty if we don't create nothing from it. And memories serve the purpose to do that. And this is a beautiful tribute to your father-in-law, if I'm not mistaken, yes. And I think you did him justice with this poem here. It's sweet, like I said with Hatter, they're never dead. Our loved ones never die. They only fade in the physicality, but they are still with us in memories. And if you keep those memories alive, they will never die.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. And I really felt your pain there, my dear. You are, like Hatter and Deb and Crystal, very good friends of mine, and your pain is mine as well. And with that, I will be parting. I'm going to be heading out, but I just want to say thanks. And Crystal, great show, Crystal. Happy to see you on the airwaves again.
Thank you.
I too, Crystal, I'm going to. I'm going to say goodnight, and thank you for letting me share. Have a great show. It's been really nice listening to your opposites. I enjoyed it.
Mm. Thank you, sweet.
Good hearing you, sweet.
All right. Well, I put my stuff up. I'll do open poetry tomorrow, so anybody that wants to come by and say hi, they can. If not, I'm just going to be running my mouth then, getting back in practice. It's been quite a few weeks. So
it has been, and we missed you terribly. And are you doing it at a special time?
No, I'm not. It was just, I haven't this whole, so, yeah.
I just wanted to know whether to change it. All right.
Yes, please. All right, thanks.
Good night.
Good night, guys. Bye.
Well, all right, Deb, it's just you and me. For once. I've got Phil, the poet, left. I got Titus left and mine. And we should be done. Well, if we have time, I'll do mine. But I went ahead and put Phil's on there.
I'll do yours, too.
Yeah. I have Phil's on there. And, okay, I got it. And hit play.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called The Witch That Switched. Have you heard about the witch that switched? Threw down her pagan ways in a muddy ditch. Came to church to blaspheme the name of Jesus. Spitting venom and shouting words so grievous. The pastor turned and preached the word of God. At the name of Jesus Christ, the witch did drop. Swirling around in a demonic haze of torture, the witch screamed as the demon made his final departure. Finding the love of God so powerful, she began to cry, "Repent from your witchcraft, repent from your paganism, or die. Turn to him who can give you eternal life," cried the man, standing his ground with the mighty sword in his hand. That very night she gave her life to the Lord, threw away her tower cards, robes, and Ouija board, burnt her books of spells, destroying the life of destruction. Now she is a servant of the Lord Jesus and follows his instruction. She warns witches and warlocks that they will burn. Some of them curse her, while others believe and turn. She praises Jesus about the day she came to church. From a child of the devil, a beautiful child of God did emerge. End poem.
I know when I first started hearing them read this, and I was just thinking, like, oh, what a great story of fiction. That was just going through my head. Then I scroll down and look in his author's notes and says, this is a true story. And I'm like, that's not fiction. Wow. But, I mean, I have heard of instances when this stuff has happened. I mean, anything's possible. Miracles happen. The people change. The world changes. Everything. I mean, you never know. Like, that's the thing that I like that he did to the opposite here is that she was somebody she didn't know exactly who she was and then changed, got her life switched around. And that's something that I like that he described there when it came to opposites, about that there can be a whole one time you think you're one thing and then change to the next. So I like that he did that. I also enjoyed the rhyme as well. The rhyme was really good, but I guess I shouldn't expect anything less from Phil the Poet. But thank you, Phil, for writing this. And Deb, what about your comment?
Well, for starters, you gotta excuse me. You gotta speak on his recordings and his voice. I am so thrilled that he's making these recordings, and I so enjoy listening to him read. His pronunciations are amazing, and this poem, I think that the contrast is excellent. And in the second stanza, the pastor turned and preached the word of God in the name of Jesus Christ, the witch did drop. Swirling around in a demonic haze of torture, the witch screamed as the demon made its final departure. The image of like the battle of light and darkness in there, in the demonic haze, I thought was, swirling around in a demonic haze. I thought that was a brilliant image right there. And I really like the concept of the fact that she falls because of being preached. So, I think that it's really incredible. And then I noticed that he's won an award for it as well already. So great job with that. I am too, or I am also, a really big fan of Phil. And it's always a treat when he sends us one of his recordings.
I know, because I know for the longest time, Phil would always write for the shows and we'd read for him and stuff, and now him, because I always knew he was from Russia, but I always wondered what his voice would sound like. And
Russia? Really? Because he always talks about over the pond. I thought he was from London. Shows you what
I thought he was Russian. Well, one way to find out, get his page.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm scrambling
Kingdom.
And looking this
up. But I remember reading of him and him talking. No, I remember him reading of him and him talking about Russia. Yes, as I live in England. Okay. But I swear I've heard him talk about Russia several times.
I'm not saying that there's no way that he's not Russian. I don't know either way, but it says the UK, and
I got it now.
The pond.
I read his bio.
He lives in England.
I have spent much time in Russia at the bottom. Okay.
I wasn't wrong on that. At least we know. Yeah, he seems to have it more of a UK or that area of the world kind of accent.
When you said
Russian, I was like, wait, what?
But I do remember hearing, like, ever since I've read Phil's poetry about as long as I've really. Okay, so he's only been a member since 2018. Why do I feel like it's been longer than that? I swear it's been longer than that, because I remember reading him from, like, the very... Well, I mean, I guess I did read him from the very beginning. I think it was longer than that. What? I don't know. Because I know next month it'll be 7 years since I've been on All Poetry. I don't know why I thought it's been longer than... I don't know. Okay. I need to get off of that subject. But thank you, Phil, for always writing for the shows and everything. And then again, an amazing SoundCloud. And last, I got Titus. I got Titus on the board, then mine, do the announcements, and then we can head on home, even though I already am home. But we already know what we mean. Okay. Where's Titus? There it is.
Hypnagogia. From firstborn, the devil's anguish. Having suffered in silence many years, happenings I did not know were lurking, in which case this curse of mine appears. 'Tis often to mislead, and yet still working beyond dreams, where my frustrations are kept. It seems where there is anguish, I bestow wishful thinking. As a matter of fact, then incrept this confrontation with the devil. Though from younger days the genie shone through me, friendlier than before with this little boy, but now awake I knew it had to be. He promised to abide, create, destroy, until awake it was asleep so deep. The words that duly fear will want to keep. Hypnagogia, a chant I call it. Since when did 666 need demonstrate the devil's anguish? With a brace and bit, the abacus to which this blessed date, 6 minutes past the hourly sixth, reckons the devil himself would have raised me up. Within that count in total, 6 seconds, long enough a plea to where he will sup. Truth of the matter, those tiny devils inwardly destruct our blessed freedoms, but always seems to get in the way evil spreads, to take account the many demons who in so doing keep me awake all night, until there is a piece like this he'll write.
That's another person that you can say writes the most amazing or does the most amazing SoundClouds as well, which I know I've probably said that 5 million times, and every time I hear Titus, I probably say that same comment, but yeah, I love the eeriness to this, the haunting darkness type thing, and kind of gives you, like, I don't know, goosebumps along your back. Yeah, there's something about this, though. But he does that, too. Like, him and Frank can do a SoundCloud really well when it comes to very eerie voices. Pretty much if I wanted to hear anybody tell a haunting story or just narrate a haunting movie, I know who to pick. I would pick, like, Titus and Frank. But, yeah, I love the way that this just went, and it just just has that dark hauntingness to it, and like that bit of evil and things. And I love the way that he ends it towards the end, kind of in a like a spooky way that may keep you awake at night, because until then a piece like this he'll write, like, that's kind of so dark and creepy. But thank you, Titus, for writing for us. And Deb, your comment?
I am bursting at the scene to comment here. Wow. I'm absolutely blown away by this, between his write, his read, the background, the details, the topic. I mean, and I haven't even touched on any of the lines of the poems yet, even the 666 that's burning in the center, the visuals, the audio, the photo, okay, relax, the devil's anguish. I'm like, woohoo. And then all the details, like he suffered in silence many years, happenings I did not know were lurking. There was an underlined creepiness to it. When he read, there was just a slight change in his voice from poems when he's reading, like, say, one of his romantic poems, for example. Like the last one, I believe, was part of Romeo and Juliet. And not really, but he called it, like, act in Romeo and Juliet or something like that. I don't want to quote wrong, but it was more romance and stuff. Quite beautiful. And then I sat here mesmerized by line after line with the tones in his voice. From younger days, the genie shone through me, friendlier than before, this nice little boy. But now, awake, I knew it had to be. He promised to abide, create, destroy. I'm like, oh my goodness. I could, you know, just start over and read this whole one. I already saved it. Actually, I think I double saved it, but I'm absolutely impressed by this. My new favorite of his. Well, aside from my poem from his angel collection, anyway.
Awesome comment, Deb. And thank you again, Titus, for writing that. I loved things, like, besides just like writing poems about opposites, but also seeing the opposite kind of poetry as well, getting a little bit dark, a little bit of sensual, a little bit of more bright poet, like all these different blends, and I like seeing that. All right, I've got mine, but before I read mine, Deb, do you want to plug in any shows that are coming up?
Well, a quick shout again for Sweet. Her show is tomorrow night, and after she's been gone for so long, she'll be going live at 11 Eastern tomorrow, Open Poetry. Ought to be great. And maybe I'll get around to double-checking with AP to make sure that there is an episode of Tic-Mac-Po coming up, because I forgot to double-check that. On Saturday at 11 Eastern, it's me and AP and Hatter, and it's AP's topic this week, and he chose auroras, and you can write about aurora borealis, or you could write about aurora australis, and take it anywhere it leads you, and grown-up room on Sunday, and mirrors on Monday, on personal prompt Monday. Plenty of time to go choose all your props and dazzle me. And that's the next several days, and that's at 10 p.m. Eastern. And I don't know if they called tonight, but over at Poetic Slice, if you're still feeling awake and poetic, they're live with some really pretty art that Kay chose. You could go over there when you're done listening to us. And that's that. An amazing topic, Crystal. What a variety of poems you had tonight.
I was telling Hatter before that I was starting to feel a little bit creatively drained, and I can't, all those bright ideas that normally I have in my head, they're all gone, because like I'm using my creativity all the time. So, but I've done a show on opposites before, but I've never done it where you pick one or so. So I was like, well, I'll just do that. I'm trying to get the creative juices flowing somewhat. Hopefully I start having some more better ideas. I don't know.
I think you always come up with great ideas. So, you know, just saying. And when you're not feeling creative, people love Open Poetry. It's supposed to be fun, not stress. Just saying.
That's true. That's true. I just don't always like, because everyone does Open Poetry, and I typically, like, I love Open Poetry, don't get me wrong, but I like to
not necessarily, because if I had to give the biggest complaint that comes through my inbox is that we don't have enough Open Poetry here. I mean, you know, the other radio teams do so more often than we do. So we try to put them in on nights when we're covering for people and stuff like that. So never feel bad about putting up Open Poetry, because sometimes you know yourself, you write this poem and you'd love to share it, but it never seems to fit one of the topics. So please don't ever feel bad about doing Open Poetry.
No. I mean, I know people enjoy it, but like, I'm just a person, I love themes. I love coming up with a theme or something like, even if, because sometimes I even write, like, even if it's just, like, a very common theme, somewhat like an Open Poetry, because most people would have a poem on the subject or so, but, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
That gives
it
a little less of a, there's a broad spectrum, but within a theme, whatever. Mm-hmm. You do it whatever you want. I just wanted to make sure that there's no reason ever to feel bad about Open Poetry when you're in a rush. But I want to hear your poem.
Okay. I think, actually, you already read this poem, Deb. I just thought of that.
I know. I just saw it, and I was realizing that it was a medal winner, and I want to hear it again.
Okay. Well, I was just thinking, because I know that I brought out the different parts of light versus darkness in this poem, and I think that was my opposite. I was trying to, like I said, I told Frank earlier, like trying to find a poem of mine. I know I have several poems, I think, that are opposites, but as far as newest goes, I think this is one of the newer ones. This is called Neon Lights and the Waves. Neon waves blossom over a charcoal blue, a sapphire crowning her golden curls with shades of goldenrod and maroon. Bluebirds whistle to the autumn breeze. She carries their wings so fragile, and she beckons to them with ease. freedom of dripping ocean eyes, sprinkle hope on the broken clouds and the moonlight of Colbert's eyes. Darkness fades into shadows of light. Nashir arises from apricot sunset, bringing neon rain and a moonless night. End poem.
Yeah, see, that's gorgeous. Brevity. I was trying to see if I listed anything specific. No, I was just in love with the vivid colors and stuff. A lot of times I like to see what I wrote and see if I was pulled to the same thing. But I like bluebirds whistle to the almond breeze. She carries their wings so fragile. She brings them with ease. I think that this was so spot on to that photo that it was just like, It blew me away, and you are an excellent brevity writer. I say it a lot, but it's because it's true, and I'm so impressed by you. We all are, and it's so nice getting to hang out with you and hear you, and I know you're a busy, busy woman, but we miss you when you're not around.
Mm.
Great tip.
Thank you, Deb. And now we have like 2 minutes left. Well, thank you to Sweet and Deb, Hatter, and Frank for all calling and stuff like that. And thank you to Titus and Kay and Phil for writing for the show and stuff like that. I enjoy hearing all of the opposites and I was interested to see the different ones that y'all were going to pick. Like, I didn't expect people to pick awake versus asleep as much as I did. Or yours, Deb, that surprised me about looking more about the inside and the outside, not thinking about indoors, outdoors. But, yeah, thank you, everyone, for writing for the show and always being there for me every single month and bearing with me when I don't always call on all the shows like I used to. but yeah. I think I got all the thank yous, all the announcements. I think we're good. We got one minute in.
Yeah. Perfectamundo.
Exactly. Like right on the dot, 2 hours.
Well, great show.
Good night, Deb.
Love and respect.
And good night, everybody, who's listening. I'm waiting for you to say love and respect.
Oh, I did. I'm sorry. I must have said it to the mute button. Love and respect.
Oh, okay. Okay. There we go.
This
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night.